gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's a punditpalooza today.
Yes.
Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America from the Boston Globe. Richard Wolff, MSNBC and journalist, author extraordinaire. Representative Frank Pallone, all coming up on the Newsmaker Hotline. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to hold an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. All things Supreme Court, obviously. We have the best of the best.
Yes.
From the Center for American Progress. Fancy legal analyst guy. Probably he prefers a different title. But Ian Millhiser is on the phone with us, our personal fancy legal expert guy. Hello, Ian.
I'm still not that fancy, Stephanie.
You've gotten even fancier since we last spoke.
So, I do my best.
So what is your initial reaction? You know, whenever there's a Supreme Court nomination, you kind of have to go, okay, because you almost feel like they could kind of fill in a name, and they already have a script written as to why they're against this person and why they're a crazy activist. What are your thoughts thus far?
So I'll tell you one story that's really encouraging to me. When Kagan was in the Clinton White House, she spearheaded an effort to prevent cigarette companies from marketing their products to children. And these were really common sense rules, like you don't get to put a cigarette billboard next to a school, you don't get to put bright glossy tobacco ads in teen magazines, you know, really basic stuff. And a 5-4 Supreme Court, you know, with exactly the people you think would be in the five, struck these rules down on a really implausible theory. They essentially said that tobacco is so dangerous that government can't regulate it. And I promise you I'm not making that
up. What?
Yeah, exactly. Kagan worked really hard to make sure that children, you know, would not have cigarettes sold to them. And, you know, she saw all of this hard work dashed by the Supreme Court. So she's been on the receiving end of a court that is a little too obsessed with corporate immunity. And I think that when she gets there, we're not going to see her acting like John Roberts and thinking that rich people can go buy a judge or that drug companies and banks should be immune from state law. I think she's going to be really good on these corporate immunity issues, because she knows.
Now, will there be the right-wing attack ads? Will there be kids smoking freely and then and bitching about her suppressing their rights? Or what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that the right's definitely engaged in a contest right now to see who could say the most offensive thing. I think the two finalists there, so the American Family Association, which is this anti-gay hate group, put out a statement where they said, you know, we think she's gay, and if she is a sexually abnormal individual, those were the words they used, then she can't be on the Supreme Court. But my favorite attack is the RNC, actually, put out an attack on her where they said, where she had quoted Thurgood Marshall, the legendary civil rights icon and Supreme Court justice. Thurgood Marshall had once said that the original Constitution was defective on the day it was ratified. And the RNC hit her for this. You know, how can you say that the Constitution was defective? Well, you know what Thurgood Marshall was talking about? You know why he said it was defective in 1789? Because it allows slavery.
Right.
So, you know, the RNC was attacking her because, you know, they thought that she was a little too aggressive in her opposition to slavery. We're going to see all kinds of crazy stuff like this. I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm actually reading the story that you just mentioned, the American Family Association. I'm like, is that the George Wreckers group? Because she's obviously unmarried and she hasn't commented on her sexuality and she supports gay and lesbian rights, of course. You know,
and she loves pantsuits.
Well, and she likes pantsuits, clearly.
That. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous that, you know, they're going after this. Of course, the other substantive point that they're hitting is when she was Harvard Law School dean, she was a very outspoken opponent of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know, along with Admiral Mullen General
and
Powell.
70% of the American people, yeah.
Exactly. But one thing that – one lie that they have been spreading, you know, I was on TV earlier today and I got hit with this lie. a lot of people on the right are saying that when she was dean of the Harvard Law School, she kicked out military recruiters and wouldn't let them come onto campus.
Right, she's anti-military.
Right, exactly. Right. But, like, you know, this claim that she kicked out the recruiters is a lie. There was not 1 minute when she was dean that military recruiters were not allowed to come on campus and interview students about joining the military. And when she explained her opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, she was very clear. She said, look, I mean, this is the highest level of service that someone can give to their country. And to tell people that they can't do it because of who they love, it, you know, is a moral injustice. You know, it was very clear that she thinks right. very highly of military service, and she wants it to be an opportunity that's available to everyone.
Right, and agreeing, as you say, with other crazy leftists like, you know, Robert Gates.
Exactly.
Now, and this is the thing, you know, are we going to be seeing code? Because I love, you know, the first, you know, senator, of course, out of the box is Inhofe.
Right.
James Inhofe, who, as you know, once had that delightful chart on the Senate floor explaining how his family tree is free of anything icky like homosexuality or divorce or anything like that. So he says he has decided to oppose her nomination because of her lack of judicial experience and her interpretation of the Constitution. He also says he thinks she has contempt for the Senate confirmation process based on I don't know what.
But she did write an article in 1995 where she said that the Supreme Court confirmation process doesn't do a very good job of sussing out nominees' views. And she's right. I mean, you know, I don't have a problem if the senators want to ask her tough questions because, frankly, she can handle them. She has nothing to hide.
Right.
You know, and one thing that I think is very interesting, you know, when Roberts got up and when Alito got up, the conservatives who chaired that committee would say, oh, well, you don't have to really answer anything, and, you know, if you want to just, you know, avoid specific questions, that's fine, because they knew that if Roberts or Alito revealed what they actually believed, you know, it would be a nightmare for them.
Right.
You know, when one of our nominees is up there, I say bring it on, because
right.
we have
if
nothing
we, to if
hear.
We could put a moratorium on using the phrase kabuki dance, I think that would be good.
It would be nice.
Because let's just stipulate that we know that it is. But it is interesting, isn't it? I love that they always try this, of course, when it's a liberal, nominee or, you know, a Democratic president, the whole, oh, she comes from the elite. She doesn't understand regular people. Like, you know, she has these fancy degrees, like anyone on the Supreme Court has went to community college. It's
right.
like they all went to Ivy League schools, you know. But, I mean, she actually does come from a family, right, of school teachers and, you know, certainly not that kind of elite background, right?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. You know, she's the granddaughter of immigrants. Her parents were the first members of her family to go to college. Her mother was a school teacher. Her father was a fair housing attorney. So, yeah, he was a lawyer, but he spent his career really helping little people. And she has a wealth of experience. I mean, people talk about judicial experience like it's this amazing thing. I worked for a judge for a while, and he was a great judge, and it was a great job. But, you know, I remember when I came to work, I'd walk down this long marble hall that no one ever walked down. And then to get into the chambers, there was this wooden door that only 6 people in the universe had a key to. And then I went to my desk, and I read, and I wrote memos to the judge, and he read my memos, and he wrote opinions. And, you know, I think that we all did a good job at what we were doing. But in that kind of environment, it's easy to see how you get out of touch with what's going on.
Right.
And she, you know, she's been a manager. She's had to manage a staff. She's had to, you know, she knows what happens when one of your vendors isn't coming through and you have to think about litigation. You know, she's thought about policy at a very high level in the Clinton administration. So, you know, she
right.
has a really rich life. And I will put
right.
her experience against someone with judicial experience any day.
Well, I mean, that's going to be the complaint. She doesn't have judicial experience, you know, but I love how the elite thing, it's like, oh, you don't want someone with all those fancy degrees. It's like,
right.
here's a little, you know, clue for you. You want someone really a little smarter than the rest
right.
of us on the Supreme Court. But I'm sure you've already heard this. The case from the left is sort of based on that, too, right, is that she has very little of a paper trail in terms of, you know, the left being, you know, satisfied that she's really a liberal. correct?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And, you know, the stakes are so high that I think it's fair to worry about, you know, is this person going to get up there and are we going to, you know, if we got another vote to do what John Roberts wanted to do, that would be a disaster. The
right.
good news is that what we do see in her record, is a good sign. You know, so I told mm-hmm. that story about her time with the tobacco regulation. The
right.
other thing that people have been expressing concerns about is her view on detainee treatment on things like Guantanamo. And yesterday a letter came out that she signed when she was dean of Harvard where she was referring to a law that would have let President Bush do pretty much whatever he wanted and detain
right.
people without any kind of process. And she wrote about that law, you know, when dictatorships have passed similar laws, our government has rightly challenged such acts as fundamentally lawless. And this same standard should apply to our own government.
Right. I mean, that gives you cause for at least some satisfaction that she seems to embrace Justice Stevens' view of detaining
right.
rights, correct?
Yeah. Right. No, that's exactly right.
Right. I mean, because, you know, that, but I do know that, well, I mean, a lot of people talking about Glenn Greenwald's piece, obviously,
right.
on the left, just talking about a lot of the, you know, noting she's been a White House official, Harvard Law Dean, the U.S. top litigator, has not led her to produce much of a paper trail explaining
right.
her position on key issues at all. So I understand the concern on the left, though, don't you?
You know, I definitely understand it, and, you know, she does not have much of a paper trail. So, you know, it's not like Justice Sotomayor where we had 13 years of cases that we could go through and know what we're getting. But at the same time, you know, what record we do have is very good.
Right.
I've spoken to a lot of people who know her from the Clinton administration, and they rave about her dedication to making sure that, you know, the laws that are meant to protect ordinary Americans actually
right.
do protect ordinary Americans.
Right.
And, you know, and she's very, very bright, and she's young. So, you know,
yes.
she'll get up there and we'll have her for a long time, which is very important.
Well, and the thing, you know, the closer for me today is she's an Upper West Side girl from Manhattan,
me
too. Yeah, I'm living in New York now. But, you know, this is one thing that, of course, will make the right crazy, but will make us happy on the left, is she said, where I grew up on Manhattan's Upper West Side, no one ever admitted to voting for Republicans. She described the Manhattan of her childhood, where those who won office were real Democrats, not the closet Republicans that one sees so often these days, but men and women committed to liberal principles and motivated by the idea of a affirmative and compassionate government. Which, of course, we love, and of course they'll make that like a bad thing on the right. Compassion? That's too close to empathy.
Exactly, yeah, because empathy has suddenly become a bad word. You know, I wonder if these guys even know what that word means. You know, empathy means that you're able to understand what other people's experiences are like, and I don't understand how you can be a judge if you don't have that skill.
The Republicans are like, empathy? How do you fake that?
Yeah.
Ian Millhiser of the Center for American Progress. Ian, I hope you'll come back as we move through this process, because it's fascinating.
Absolutely, Stephanie.
As we move through this, what's the word on the... Oh, I know, Kabuki Theater, that is a Supreme Court nomination. All right, thank you, Ian. See you next time.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Ian Millhiser, fancy legal guy, Chris, from the Center for...
That's his official title.
At the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of our thoughts and yours on the Elena Kagan nomination as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. Hold up.
Check it out.
Here we go. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It is Steffalicious. 25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, I already got the call from my ex-husband, Hal Sparks.
Oh yeah? Okay.
Yeah, he thinks you're my concierge, apparently.
What?
He's like, oh, I'm coming into New York today, I'll see you, I'll be at your house like 4:30. Didn't Chris tell you? I was like, no.
He told me that he was going to be in studio with you tomorrow.
Well, and he will be in casa with mama.
Well... How was I supposed to know that?
let me get home early and fluff the pillows.
Oh, my God.
And put my negligee on. All right, 1-800.
You don't wear negligee. You wear flannel pajamas with dogs on it.
I wear a negligee and pumps to bed and lip gloss. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Tim and Madison on the Elena Kagan nomination. Hey, Tim.
Well, before I get to that, I think just flannel with dogs on is hotter than negligee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So welcome. With fuzzy slippers? Hot.
Hot. On.
No, they're feety pajamas.
Oh, you know what? I'm 6'4". I want feety pajamas.
Yeah, Hal says it's that college co-ed thing. I got
maybe it
on.
Is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've seen Mitchma McChinless saying that...
the turtle, yes.
Yeah, so that Miss Keegan doesn't have any real experience. I'm sorry, but being Solicitor General and Dean of Harvard Law, I think she has plenty of experience. And I also recall him, I don't remember.
Yeah, don't you love when they pull that one out, Tim? Like she's worked at the drive-thru at McDonald's or something,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I recall when Mr. President Bush was trying to get his personal attorney at Supreme Court. Someone want to explain that one?
Oh, don't you love that? That's the worst analogy since the is the oil spill Obama's Katrina. Is the oh, is this his Harriet Myers? No.
You know who asked that last night, though? Rachel Maddow asked that last night.
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah, but that what based on what? I mean, because all right, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
No, it's quite all right. I mean, I look at Harriet Myers and Mr. McConnell actually saying that she was qualified, but somehow. Miss Keegan is not. She was dean of Harvard Law. She's
right.
The U.S. Solicitor General. I think she has plenty of experience considering she's already argued in front of the Supreme Court. She's
right.
Already been there.
Right.
I think this would be the next perfect step for her. And I look at it, she's not too liberal. She's not too I think she's in the middle of the road gal. And I like
yeah.
Her.
Well, which, you know, in some circles I understand is a bad thing because this is, you know, I mean, a lot of, and I understand the concern that she's going to move the court that's already to the right, mm-hmm. Farther to the right. Why, what did, I missed that on Rachel. What was she basing that on?
She was saying that that Kagan might not have enough support from her own party to get through, kind of like Harriet
right,
Myers.
Right, but I mean, I see. Well, in that way, but I mean, Harriet Myers wasn't qualified. Well, she really was the president's personal attorney. It's
exactly.
Not like she's, you know.
Right, right. But you know, that, in that sense, I can kind of see where Rachel's coming from.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Rick in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, Rick.
I just wanted to hear more about her opinions on indefinite detention without trial. I read a little something on that yesterday and was wanting to hear more.
Well, I think if you listen to, we just had Ian Millhiser on for the Center for American Progress, and he was agreeing with me that it seems that she embraces Justice Stevens' view of detainee rights. So and she, you know, Stevens has consistently voted to resist Bush's theory of detention without due process. So I think people's concerns on that one, Rick, have been allayed.
Okay, yeah, and I had heard the opposite, that she had actually supported it.
Well, you know what? We'll delve some more into that when we come back, because I know there's a lot of it's trepidation, Chris. I would call it trepidation.
There is.
On both sides. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
But you are easy. Don't be ashamed of what you are.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Mike in Chicago on the Elena Kagan nomination. Hey, Mike.
Hi, kids. I'm actually more concerned about Elena Kagan because the right's not mad enough. That's got me really scared. I want
yeah, it doesn't seem like
to explode.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know what else also is Liz Cheney and Ken Starr back this woman, too. Let me tell you, here's a quote from Liz Cheney to Chris Wallace on Fox. Well, actually, I know Elena Kagan somewhat. She was one of my professors at the University of Chicago, and she was a very good professor. She didn't let politics get into the classroom, and she was rigorous and demanding, so I have respect for her. When Liz Cheney is complimenting her, right away take her name out of the cycle.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, I wonder if this is what we we talked about before, that the president, you know, it seems it's intrinsically who he is to be bipartisan and centrist and outreach. And that's exactly what's, you know, my fear is we are filling a liberal justice's seat on a court that is already obviously skewed too far to the right. So, you know, you have to hope that this isn't, you know, as centrist a pick as some people say it is, right?
I agree, but you know that we also have the majority, and right now there's no reason why Obama can't say, okay, we have to replace this with Stevens with someone who's just as liberal.
Right.
Because when Harriet Myers, when Bush chose him, the reason the Republicans didn't want Harriet Myers, they just came out and said it. She's not conservative enough. So they can pull someone in by their ideology, but if a liberal does it, oh, God forbid.
Right, right. Know, well,
40 of the 111 Supreme Court justices have never been judges. That's almost a third. Why is no one bringing that up?
The only thing you have to hope, Mike, is that the president's a pretty smart guy and a constitutional law professor, and you have to hope that it's like that campaign now. Chill out, mother. I got this. You just have to hope that he knows what he's doing here.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Steph. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Mike. You know, one of the things, though, Chris, they've been talking about is that, you know, it's not just liberal, but it's someone that can form consensus like Stevens did. And I heard somebody saying this on TV yesterday. I think that's probably true, that I don't know that you're bringing Scalia and Thomas anywhere.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
No, you're not.
Particularly when I hate to say it. But the combination of her, being a woman and then the rumors that she might be gay, I'm just like going, I already can feel the right wing justices dismissing her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Is that bad to say?
No, it's not bad
But I just
say,
feel
but...
like Thomas has no friggin' mind of his own at all. He
right.
does whatever Scalia wants. And I just feel like, you know, I'm sorry. I would feel like they would already be biased against her, whether it's judicially or just, you know, politically,
sure.
that I don't, I would hope, I've heard that she's amazingly persuasive and all of that, but, you know.
Right.
I don't.
Well,
you know,
you're not going to persuade them, but luckily our system, our judicial Supreme Court system is built so that each one of the nine justices has an equal say. And so, you know, if they dismiss her, so what? You know, she still has an equal voice.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you know, what people are saying is we need more than that. We need someone that can form consensus and bring, you know, some of them over.
You're not going to bring Scalia or Thomas over.
I love Andy Borowitz's tweets yesterday from Twitterdom. Breaking, citing Kagan's lack of judging experience, GOP proposes Paula Abdul. Update, Republicans were able to generate anti-Kagan rhetoric instantly using iPhone's new I Oppose app. Which, funny, Andy Borowitz, funny. All right, the president yesterday introducing Elena Kagan.
She believes, as I do, that exposure to a broad array of perspectives is the foundation not just for a sound legal education, but of a successful life in the law. And this appreciation for diverse views may also come in handy as a diehard Mets fan serving alongside her new colleague to be Yankees fan Justice Sotomayor, who I believe has ordered a pinstripe robe for the occasion.
Girl fight, girl fight, girl fight.
I guess Roberts is a diehard Phillies fan, and so I guess she might be able to bring Sotomayor and Roberts together, you know, as a consensus.
Right. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just picture a girl fight, Supreme Court girl fight, them shoving each other into the Supreme Court lockers and stuff. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's too skinny to even like pull them apart or anything.
Yes.
Point of her. Robert in Albuquerque, New Mexico says Kagan is a consensus builder. Hi, Robert.
Hi, and I really, everything I hear from her is, A, she's got a great sense of humor, which is wonderful, and she is a consensus builder. And the person she's replacing, Justice Stevens, that was his main trademark, because he was a consensus builder. He was a lifelong Republican, and people forget that Stevens was a Republican, but he was considered a very liberal justice. You know, the same thing goes here. If you got somebody and get the other justices to see your way, I think you'll be fine. And actually, Kagan held an actual party for Justice Scalia.
I think she's going to kick some ass in the. You remember when, you know, they painted Sotomayor with his brush, and then you were like, whoa, she's scary friggin' smart, you know, and I'm sure it's going to be very similar with her confirmation, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, and she's actually told the Federalist Society, she says, I love the Federalist Society, but I'm not one of your people. In other words, she likes arguing against. She's willing to have a good, vigorous, constructive argument with folks and get them to see, get everybody to get along and build a consensus for a decision. So I see nothing wrong with that.
Yep, let's hope so. All right, thank you, Robert. Appreciate it. Chris, could you take your organ out for me? And I thought, interesting timing, what with the George Wreckers wheel of right-wing hypocrites lately.
Yes.
Is this his family organization, or was this a different... He was co-founder of Focus on the Family, the guy that hired a rent boy to carry his...
Yes.
Sacks on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
This is the American Family Association. It's so hard to tell them apart, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so many family associations.
Mm-hmm.
Because families need so much support.
Yes, because it takes the village people to raise a family. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a George Wreckers thing. I apologize, that's not what I... since she happens to be an unmarried woman who has not publicly commented on her sexuality and supports LGBT rights, many on the right making the assumption about her personal life and therefore her fitness to serve as a justice. Who was it, Chris? Which senator was it that said, this was before she was even nominated, but just, theoretically a gay justice, they said as long as it didn't get in the way of their job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was that Orrin Hatch or something like that?
I don't... How does...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the assumption that would be a guy or something.
Right.
And, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do oral arguments now because I have my mouth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what?
You know, I don't see these people ask if, straight marriages get in the way of doing their job.
Yes.
That is so biased. Oh, my God.
Well, you know me. I'm going to start quoting liberally from, The Contender. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Now I'm just going to go ape dump with the, because I love that movie. Joan Allen was up to be vice president, and they were circulating all kinds of rumors about her. I don't know. It was like, what was that in that case? Something about an orgy or something in college or something that she could have proved was not true, but she said, I'm not going to answer that question, because that would mean it's okay that you asked it. So
did she take part in an orgy?
No, that was the whole point of the movie. Why won't you pay attention to my Contender references?
I've never seen the movie.
She could have easily disproved it.
Okay.
But she didn't comment on it because she said that would mean it's okay for you to ask that.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Her point was the same thing I said through the whole Clinton impeachment. Private life is private. That's why they call it a private life. That's why the first part of that is the private. You know, right? That's the whole thing we said. Not our business what the Clintons' marriage is about. It's not, I said that a million times. I voted for him for president, not for husband, for God's sakes. I voted for Hal Sparks, and now look how that turned out.
Although he keeps running back to you.
He does. They always come back for more. okay. Well, so anyway, where am I in the story? Okay, last month, we talked about this. CBS News published an online column by that former Bush speechwriter, which called Hagan the first openly gay justice. Which, first of all, even if she is, clearly not openly, because she doesn't talk about it.
Right.
So, yeah. The White House quickly responded, demanding CBS pull down the post, saying that the site was applying old stereotypes to single women with successful careers. But more importantly, this is CBS News.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, what the hell's happening to the news when CNN hires, what's that guy?
Erickson.
Yes, Red State blogger.
Yep.
That's not news.
No. It's not.
You don't let somebody post something on a CBS News website. The right wing. Listen, that's scurrilous rumors. That's what talk radio's for God's
right.
sakes.
That's what we traffic.
We've got that covered. The right wing has been hammering Kagan over the fact that while she was dean, Harvard Law School refused to help the nation's military recruit its students because the armed services discriminated against openly gay soldiers. Conservatives have been using this episode to unjustly portray her as being anti-military and to add fuel to the speculation over whether or not she is a lesbian. In a blog post for the American... Here we go again with the blogging.
I know.
For the far-right American Family Association, Brian Fisher comes right out and says the media should pointedly ask Kagan, are you a lesbian? And if she is, according to the FA, she shouldn't serve on the court. Because she might get it all, gay. It's time, he writes, it's time we got over the myth that what a public servant does in his private life is of no consequence. We cannot afford to have another sexually abnormal individual.
Oh, I'm sure this guy has done some sexually abnormal things.
Mm. I think we should. We should be allowed to inquire about that.
We should ask if he's going to be positing an opinion about it. We need to ask him about his sexual proclivities.
Oh, in a position of important civic responsibility, especially when that individual could become one of nine votes in an out-of-control oligarchy that constantly usurps constitutional prerogatives to unethically and illegally legislate for 300 million Americans. The stakes are too high. Social conservatives must rise up as one and say no lesbian is qualified to sit on the Supreme Court. First of all, she hasn't ever talked about it, so... This is just, this really is, she's not allowed to play in our reindeer games. Americans for Truth.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Which I'm guessing is actually the opposite of what it is, because that's how they do that.
They do that, kind of like, you know,
I'm just
healthy
guessing
forests
that means
clean skies.
Yeah. That's what Americans for Truth. A group devoted exclusively to exposing and countering the homosexual activist agenda also put out a statement saying that Kagan needs to answer, this is going to sound very McCarthy-esque, isn't it? Are or were you a practicing homosexual? Maybe she was so good at it she went professional. Maybe she doesn't need to practice anymore. Who knows? And who cares? It's not relevant, is it?
No, it's not.
I used to be practicing Catholic, but I got so good at it I went professional. I don't need to practice anymore. or do you consider yourself homosexual and then in parentheses gay?
Because we don't know what that is. Thanks.
Last month, Focus on the Family. Oh, that's the George Records organization.
Great.
He founded that. He also also said it would not be open to a gay Supreme Court justice. All right, I got to listen. We got more on this. Hang on. Well, let me just finish up the rest of this. The right-wing assumption that if she is a lesbian, she will have a conflict of interest and be personally biased in certain areas is similar to the criticisms against Sonia Sotomayor. Remember the whole Wise Latina thing and
right.
Blah blah blah. Oh, this just in, the National Organization of Marriage put out a statement today saying that a vote to confirm Kagan would be a vote for imposing gay marriage on all 50 states.
Imposing gay marriage.
Even though she said absolutely nothing about the issue of gay marriage ever, or ruled on anything of that. I think they're basing that just on the haircut alone. Okay,
well,
40...
She does kind of look like Cynthia Nixon's girlfriend.
I think the Frank Luntz analogy is a little more apt, but I want to assure everybody that she is not Frank Luntz.
No, she is not Frank Luntz.
It's not that big a trick. I think people have seen them at the same place at the same time. 47 minutes after the hour. You dragged me into that.
What? What did I do?
47 minutes after the hour. Back with more of our thoughts.
You brought the haircut up.
And the Elena Kagan nominee. There goes my free tickets to Sex and the City, too. Thanks.
Sorry.
There goes the premiere for me. Thank you. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's kind of hot.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, some breaking news from Cub reporter Chris LeBoy.
Oh, yeah. Elena Kagan has, in fact, said something about gay marriage.
Oh, really?
Yes. Before the Senate Judiciary Committee, she said there is no federal constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Which may come as a shock to the American Family Association, who says that she supports gay marriage.
What? Mm-hmm. What? Okay, let's go to Anastasia in San Diego. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Steph, once again, no one's giving President Obama credit for being the smartest guy in the room. You know, when he introduced her, he said, my friend Elena Kagan, he's a constitutional law scholar. He probably knows what she thinks. and she's wanted to be a judge since she was in high school. Mm-hmm. So her whole professional life has been, you know, about keeping her mouth shut.
Well, that's in a sense, that's what people are saying, that, you know, that I know unsettles some people on the left, but you're right that she's had, you know, it's almost like she's been preparing for this moment and that she has almost no paper trail of any kind, right?
Yeah, I mean, she posed for her high school photo in the judge's robe. And, you know, considering President Obama's impassioned remarks about the Citizens United case at the State of the Union, I don't think he would have nominated her if he didn't know what she thinks about important issues, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, that's what I was saying earlier, Anastasia, is I have to hope that, too, that, you know, he's a little smarter than the average bear, and he knows a little something about constitutional law, so I hope so.
Yep, he's playing that three-dimensional chess again.
I hope she becomes Shakira meets Che Guevara, or maybe a little to the left of that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Okay.
Let's go to Mike in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. My problem is not with who's appointed, male, female, gay, straight, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal. My problem is this. They receive lifetime appointments. What do we do when they decide to not uphold the Constitution or represent the people that they serve? This is where our problem is. And when are we going to deal with this issue?
Yeah, well, it seems like couldn't we impeach Roberts and Alito for based on what they said in their confirmation hearings, which turned out to be completely untrue, of course?
We could, but it's very, 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 very hard to do so.
When you lie, you should not be a part of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, seriously, though, Chris, remember the whole, I'm just an umpire, I just call the balls and strikes, I don't blah, 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 and then they overturned how many years of precedent with the
Status quo ante.
What's that?
Status quo ante. They overturned the status quo ante.
Okay.
That phrase came up during
the
conference?
I was going to yell that other Latin law phrase that I forgot what it is.
Stare decisis.
Stare decisis! We're getting like judicial turrets now.
I know.
All right. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Steve in Chicago. Hi, Steve.
Hi, my phone's about today. Hold on.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm back.
Okay.
I agree with that blogger. I think that all Supreme Court justices should be held to the high sexual standards of Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
exactly.
You. Bye-bye.
I would go as far to say as she's never commented on a pubic hair of any sex on a Coke can. I'm just going to say.
Not in public. I mean, she may have in private.
The press.
What?
President on Elena.
Elena is respected and admired not just for her intellect and record of achievement, but also for her temperament, her openness to a broad array of viewpoints.
All right. And he also talked about how she disagrees with people.
Her habit, to borrow a phrase from Justice Stevens, of understanding before disagreeing. Her fair-mindedness and skill as a consensus builder.
The Center for American Progress with a piece on that. You know, we talked to Ian Milheiser.
Yes.
I always say that wrong.
Yeah, you do.
About the...
You screamed the wrong name.
The concern in the on the left. The right, of course, reacted to Elena Kagan's nomination by competing to who can say the most unhinged thing about her. So far, the RNC blowing away the competition by attacking Kagan for her opposition to slavery.
What?
Yes, while conservatives have engaged in characteristic hyperbole, several voices on the left have raised legitimate concerns that Kagan will not go far enough in challenging the court's right flank in a lengthy piece. This is the one most people talking about, Glenn Greenwald. If you've read that one, lays out many of the leftward concerns, noting that, you know, she has been a White House official, Harvard Law Dean, U.S. top litigator, and has not led her to produce a great deal of paper explaining her views on key issues. You know, and I understand that, Chris, I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of the president and give him the benefit of the doubt. It's just that on something so important like a lifetime appointment to a court that has skewed so far to the right, people want more than that, I think. That's, you know, obviously the concern from the left. Given there are so many excellent candidates who have a long, clear commitment to a progressive judicial philosophy, why would Obama possibly select someone who at best is a huge question mark? That's from Glenn Greenwald. The Center for American Progress points out Glenn is wrong, though, to claim that Kagan was silent in the face of radical theories of executive power the Bush administration invoked to commit grave crimes and other abuses. To the contrary, Kagan spoke out in the clearest possible terms against an amendment offered by Senator Lindsey Graham, which would have stripped detainees of any meaningful access to a judicial process. So, and Ian agreed with us that she essentially has embraced Justice Stevens' view of detainee rights. you know, the whole against the Bush theory of detention without due process, etc. So, you know, some good news on the left and the right. We will be back with more 58 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up this hour of the Boston Globe. Richard Wolf, journalist extraordinaire, next hour, along with Representative Frank Pallone.
Not Frank Stallone.
Joyzy.
Your
different
date.
Guy.
Your date to the Playboy Mansion.
StephanieMiller.com.
That's a long story. You know what I mean.
Is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Don't forget that promo code Stephanie, won't you? Thank you.
Is it me or does Frank Luntz look like Cynthia Nixon's girlfriend?
Jim Louise Ward, let's get off on the wrong foot here this hour on the Elena Kagan nomination.
Said nothing about Elena Kagan.
No, just talking about
he
Frank
said
Luntz.
That Frank Luntz looks like Cynthia Nixon's girlfriend, and I happen to agree with him.
Jim, who said, where I grew up on Manhattan's Upper West Side, nobody ever admitted to voting for Republicans.
Jeff Sessions. Wow, that's spectacular.
No, Elena Kagan, an Upper West Side girl, like Mama. Oh. She's in.
You did not grow up on the Upper West Side.
No, I live there now.
I'm
a squatter for a few months. Well, yeah, I'm a carpetbagger.
You've lived there for 4 months.
But she never grew up, is her point. So that,
exactly.
So it's just starting now.
Who said those who won office in Manhattan were real Democrats, not the closet Republicans that one sees so often these days, but men and women committed to liberal principles and motivated by the ideal of an affirmative and compassionate government? Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
That is a really bad guess. Elena Kagan.
But he does have a connection.
Who's an uptown girl?
Who does have a connection to you in an indirect way, Hermann Göring, and that your dad prosecuted him.
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Oh, I see. There was a prosecutorial theme there.
Yes.
I understand. So, Yertle the Turtle, once they got him off his back yesterday.
Can someone bring me some lettuce? I'm starving. I can't feel myself when I'm on my back. My legs and arms are flapping around uselessly.
After he finished his morning lettuce, he had some thoughts on Elena Kagan. What was his whole deal that, she has no experience or, I don't know, whatever?
She has no experience. Well, then he has no chin.
I was just going to say, he doesn't think she's qualified. Guess who doesn't think Mitch McConnell's qualified? People in Kentucky, according to the latest. About half of Kentucky voters frown on the job done by Kentucky's two senators, figures that track a national trend of voter dissatisfaction with Washington incumbents and the federal government. New polls show 49% say they disapprove of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McChinless's performance, up from 45% in a previous poll. 41% approve of his job performance.
An opening for Hal Sparks in his native state.
Exactly. That was my point. I think he could get Jim Bunning's seat.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. 53% of those polled disapprove of Bunning's job performance. 38% approve. So, so much for Yertle.
I don't know. Slow and steady wins the race. Unless you're on your back and nobody turns you over.
That's probably what he thinks. This is just an early poll and slow and steady wins the race.
That's right.
Once he gets out of the terrarium, everything will be fine, I'm sure. Jeff in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I just wanted to bring the conversation back to the oil spewing into the Gulf of Mexico and just a couple of points on it. Just like the first little tried solution that everybody who knew anything about this knew would fail because we can replicate that type of problem, the icing, pretty much at sea level, let alone down 5,000-plus feet. But here again, they've waited for that punt to fail before they've even begun construction on the next attempt, which is shooting golf balls and spare tires into it.
Yeah.
People need to realize.
Didn't you think that was a joke? I was like, no way.
This is going to be the largest catastrophe man-made in human history, because right now there is no end in sight. It's going to be washing up on the shores of Africa and continuing to spew. It's already, all the numbers they've admitted to, we all need to realize every time we find out the truth, the numbers are
that goes to show that probably the worst thing Elena Kagan can be is a corporatist like John Roberts, because that's what I'm saying. It's like one case after another, just shows how we've got to have more regulation of companies. I mean, they've already started shifting the blame. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
They're just some guys. It's not us. It's the other. There isn't even our well. Our
stupid planet. It's full of oil. Look at it. Dumb planet sitting there spewing all this stuff.
They're going to blame the dinosaurs for laying down and dying and causing the oil to be made.
Well, they should blame the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs. And ironically, this spill may kill human beings once all the oceans are dead and, life becomes unsustainable on the planet. Thanks a lot, BP.
Jim's his usual happy, clappy self this morning.
Good morning, Jim. This is potentially,
good morning, Jim.
Yeah, this is potentially planet-killing like that the asteroid.
Yep.
Anyway.
The president and now back to the galley. White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel have reached out to moderate Republican senators to lobby for the confirmation of Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. Obama personally called the senator fold. The angel who is a senator fold from Massachusetts on behalf of
Senator. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. He hasn't worn those pink shorts in a long time, as far as we know.
Senator Brown told the president he would keep an open mind and looks forward to reviewing her qualifications, and then probably pestered him again about that basketball game with the daughter or not.
Whatever.
Oh, he keeps challenging the president to a basketball game. Whatever. With him,
Brown seems to get a lot of personal calls from Obama. Have you noticed that?
Hmm.
What are you implying?
I'm not implying anything. It's just there's a lot of reaching out to Senator Brown.
Well, maybe he just thinks that he's an actual moderate that he can work with.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. What do you call it? Rahm Emanuel called Esmeralda. What's her name? Senator Ghostly.
Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
To make sure she doesn't make Linda Kagan disappear. And also Olympia Snow took calls. They both appeared non-committal. Elena Kagan yesterday talking about teaching.
I've had the simple joy of teaching, of trying to communicate to students why I so love the law, not just because it's challenging and endlessly interesting, although it certainly is that, but because law matters, because it keeps us safe, because it protects our most fundamental rights and freedoms, and because it is the foundation of our democracy.
One of the things they're going to make an issue out of, that lunatic fringer, far-right, the constitutionality of healthcare thing.
Yeah.
As you know, as soon as we signed healthcare into law, right-wing governors, attorney generals, and state lawmakers immediately began pushing measures to nullify the new healthcare benefits. However, and even many conservative legal scholars acknowledged their argument for the unconstitutionality of health reform was weak and nothing more than a political stunt. Nullification efforts around the country have largely lost momentum and failed to pass. Nevertheless, on the Fox News, Senator John Barrasso, right-wing tool of Wyoming, said he wants to make this fringe view of health care reform a centerpiece of Elena Kagan's Supreme Court nomination hearing.
They're just going to hurt their own cause.
I look forward to that. I hope someone else brings up the birther issue. I think that
And drill, baby, drill. That'll be popular.
Yeah, that'll also be popular. The right-wing belief health care reform is unconstitutional, has no legal foundation, essentially. Edward Irwin, how do you say his name? The University of USC law professor.
Sharinsky?
Yes.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Don't have his name in front of me.
He said those opposing health care reform are increasingly relying on an argument that has no legal merit, that the health care reform legislation would be unconstitutional. There is, of course, much to debate about how to best reform America's health care system, but there is no doubt that the bills passed by the House and Senate committees are constitutional. Over at Wonk Room, they write, if Kagan were to support the frivolous health care lawsuits, she wouldn't just be breaking years of Supreme Court precedent. She would also be committing the conservative cardinal sin of disagreeing with Scalia.
Yeah.
The other
precedent, status quo ante.
Stare decisis. Jim, would you like to join our judicial turrets we have this morning? We just, I don't know, just blurting out different phrases we've heard on television. All right, Justin in Orange County.
In pluribus unum.
Exactly.
Sine qua non.
Stare decisis. Oh.
Sorry. That one's already taken.
Okay.
you know, I want to point out to Uriel the Turtle that when he says Kagan has no experience and, you know, that's like, you know, some sort of mortal sin, William Rehnquist had zero judicial experience and served for 35 years in the court and made it to Chief Justice. So
yeah, and he put those wacky stripes on his
robe. That was okay then, but it's not okay now. You know, typical Republican world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Rehnquist also was instrumental in turning Hispanic people away from the polls in Arizona in the early 60s.
Oh,
he harassed them, yeah.
So he had some experience.
Yes, experience in keeping brown people from voting.
Is it me, or are we a little New York heavy on the Supreme Court? Yeah, what's your point?
Oh, look at you starting a New York-LA gang fight now that the Stephanie Miller Show has gone by.
I mean, you know, his two picks for the Supreme Court have been Sonia Sotomayor from the Bronx and Elena Kagan from Manhattan.
Oh, sure. Now we're going all Tupac versus Biggie or something.
Well, no, I mean, you know, someone from the Midwest or the West would be nice.
Aaron Biloxi, Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Aaron. Oh, I did the thing wrong that I usually do. Hello, Aaron. Go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that this morning it smells like gasoline on our beautiful Mississippi coast.
Oh, it's tragic.
Absolutely tragic.
Wow. You're in Biloxi.
I have something funny to say about it, but I don't.
No.
I know.
Nothing funny to say about it.
I know. There's nothing funny about the smell of gasoline in the morning. All right. Lots to get to on the Elena Kagan nomination and much more. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more crunchy audio goodness on the Elena Kagan nomination as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry. That's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Get down on it and get your face up in it. 23 minutes after the hour.
Get down on it when your face is up in it? I wasn't aware that you could do that.
1-800.
My back hurts thinking about it.
Particularly bendy people can do that.
Ah, Shakira can do that.
Face up in there, boy.
Yeah, okay.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Tom in India. Supreme Court nominations make us giddy, don't they?
Yes.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah, that's illegal in several states.
Yes. getting down on it while you're getting up in it?
Right. In reference to the Gulf of Toxico down there, good news, Rush Limbaugh says that the ocean has the power to cleanse itself.
It's just like a giant douche like he is.
Yeah. And the other thing, did you hear what Sarah Palin had to say yesterday about the president is asking for a pay cut for the military? Just pulled this right out of her handbag, I guess. And while the Pentagon is asking for a pay increase and the Senate is considering a pay increase, I haven't found where the president has mentioned anything either way. Now she's just making it up as she goes along.
Yep, exactly. All right, Tom, thank you. Wow, that's a new one, Jim. Who knew? Oil occurs naturally in the ocean, and then it just cleans itself.
After 10 million years, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, dinosaurs were fine until 65 million years ago when that little thing happened, that little asteroid thingy.
And then they turned into oil.
Yes, and it's the revenge of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
They're going to kill us now.
here's a headline. BP launches lobby and PR blitz.
Yeah, that's what they're doing before.
Look
at all this oil off the coast. We got to start drilling, huh? That's part of this comprehensive, you know, green solution that we're planning, blah, 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 yada, yada, whatever.
That's a tough job right now. BP's top Washington lobbyist launched an aggressive PR campaign Monday morning ahead of a slew of congressional hearings and investigations defending the company's response to the massive oil spill while remaining vague over what caused the accident.
Yeah.
So far, that doesn't seem like a winning PR strategy to me, but okay. Yeah, don't look away from there. This is going fine. You don't need to know. Like Rush says, it's cleaning itself. Look, we're cleaning our oven now, too.
Yeah, the ocean is full of detergent.
Mm-hmm. The cause of the spill, he said there are investigations that are ongoing. You know, they always say that.
Right.
So I can't really speak to that. What about the criticism the company wasn't prepared for such a disaster? He said the company mobilized right away, but conceded the blowout valve, the last of several mechanisms meant to stop a massive leak, was expected to work, But it hasn't done what we all thought it would do.
You know, you could have spent $500,000 on an acoustic switch like they do in Brazil and Norway. But no, that was too expensive.
It's like that V8 commercial. I could have had an acoustic switch. Oh, well. While the oil extracted was BP's, by the way, the rigs were Transocean's and some of the construction, of course, done by Halliburton. Mm-hmm. So you can get ready for this. They're all going to, it's not, oh, it's that.
Sam, look at
this
guy over there.
It was Shemp. I don't know. Nothing to do with it. All right, Elena Kagan yesterday after the president nominated.
If this day has just a touch of sadness in it for me, it is because my parents aren't here to share it.
Aww.
Don't you love the whole she's not from the real world? She said she comes from a family of school teachers.
Elitist school teachers.
Dad was a
those
lawyer.
Overpaid school teachers, right. Yeah.
God.
I don't ever understand that. And the whole, she has no experience. It's like, what? She was the dean of Harvard Law School. She has a little bit of relevant experience. All right, let's go to Ann in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Ann.
Hi, I just find it really interesting that these religionists believe so little in their faith that for her to be single and unmarried, which, according to their faith, you know, if she hasn't found someone, it's better for her to be unmarried, kind of like the apostles and Paul. But they totally just disregard that as a possibility.
Exactly. Or she could just she could be a giant loser like me. You know, there's no that you can still have a life of some sort.
Yeah, I mean, it amazes me that's you know, that's the depth of their quote unquote faith that they want to impose on everybody else.
Yep, I hear you, Alan. Don't you just love that's just a given with our listeners? Well, yes, clearly you're a loser. But my point is, we just skipped right over that.
More importantly, if she were a lesbian, that would be totally irrelevant. Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's the, you know, and the point is, you know, as we've often said during the Clinton impeachment and elsewhere, it's a private life. If she doesn't want to talk about it, it's private.
That's why they call it private.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll send Barbara Walters in.
Barbara Walters, are you a lesbian?
Ah, what's it?
Wicky
Martin, why we told me. You will always, I will get you eventually. You cannot, you can win, but you cannot hide.
Yes, hang on.
We wish Barbara Walters well in her upcoming surgery.
Exactly. She's having a thing on her connecting zoink. Her heart valve, yes.
Yes, open heart
surgery.
We
wish her well.
So we do wish her well.
Okay. But we do still wish that Tom Brokaw was around for this story.
As a lesbian, or just a legal scholar.
Oh, God.
A constitutional legal scholar.
Constitutional legal scholar, and possibly a lesbian. As I find it totally, totally irrelevant.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Stories that make us wish for Tom Brokaw back. All right.
It's not like he's dead or anything. He can still comment on these things.
I know. It's just one of the chances we have a Supreme Court nominee with L's in her name. I'm just saying.
Kim Jong-il would like Lindsay Lohan to be on the Supreme Court.
All right. Just like we pray for North Korean stories with ours in them. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with the author of Idiot America, Charlie Pierce, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, that's absurd.
Although her brown hair makes a persuasive case.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. The Dow is down 62 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, you know, the Stephanie Miller Show listeners, problem solvers, mm-hmm. like we are. What's better than the idea than shooting golf balls down the oil spill? I mean, Stephanie Madison has an idea. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. You know, I can't believe no one's thought about this, but how about Aquaman? He could totally go down there.
Mm-hmm, totally.
He wouldn't turn into a slushy or anything.
He could totally shove a whale into the hole and solve the whole problem.
You don't
want to
shove a whale in there.
He could take rude pundits suggesting to shove a whale. Yeah.
You know, a flounder? Who knows?
Well, it'd take more than one flounder.
Yeah, it's a flounder's too small.
Yeah.
But it's just as good an idea as shooting golf balls or garbage into
beer pong. You should play beer pong at the bottom of the ocean. That'll fill it up. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. You know what, kids? It's Tuesday. You know what that means. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Wah, wah, wah. Good morning, Charlie.
Did I hear you? You're starting an East-West gang fight on the Supreme Court now?
Yeah, Chris picked a turf war.
I would just like, you know, someone from the Midwest or the West
one
on the Supreme Court.
One of your own kind. One of
everybody
your own
seems
kind.
To be from New York right now.
Remarkably enough, right now, it's nothing but Catholics and Jews.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong there?
I know. Now it adds to the Fox News theory of the downtrodden white Protestant man in America.
That's right. I mean, Greta Van Susteren being only one of them. See, there's no reason for me to go there. That's a terrible thing. Hey, you know what? While I was listening to your show, I was cleaning my kitchen because
yes.
It sort of became a biology experiment while I was away. And I realized, screw it, it'll clean itself up.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like the ocean.
Right.
It's Rush's theory of the self-douching of the ocean.
It will cleanse itself over time. So will your colon, pal. But I'm not eating any fish from there.
Oh, my God. All right. Charlie, what is your take so far on the Elena Kagan nomination?
You know, I wanted a Douglas. I wanted a Brennan. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted a Marshall. I wanted a bomb thrower.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
The dean of Harvard Law School.
Yeah, here's the...
It's not objectionable. It's, you know, I'm sure she'll be, you know, the center will remain well-tended, I'm sure. But, you know, this is, it's remarkable to me. This is not what Republicans do.
I know.
Republicans go find the person with the most outrageous track record they can find. Clarence Thomas aside, but I mean Alito, Scalia, Roberts, those people. Everybody knew what they were about, and they put them on the court. Instead, we have the president once again calling Senator McDreamy and you know.
Who do you like?
And the two sisters from I can't remember the name of the play. The two elder sisters who keep the guy in the basement. I can't remember the name of the play.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
The joke is gone, boys.
Arsenic and Old Lace.
Already gone.
The two senators from Maine, Arsenic and Old Lace. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Senator Arsenic and Senator Old Lace. That was a real attempt at a recovery there that did not work. Anyway, and he's calling them again. Why?
Yeah.
Why does he need to talk to them?
Yeah, well, here's the most terrifying thing I've read lately. Gambling Bill Bennett on his radio show interviewing John Kyle, he said, Elena Kagan looks like she'll be announced today. If it is Elena Kagan, where will the folks be? Seems to me we could have done worse. This is a liberal but not a far-left person. I don't think she is to liberals, if you will, what Clarence Thomas or Nino Scalia is to a conservative, which is exactly your point.
That's exactly the problem.
I mean, he's very right there. He should go to the track. No, he shouldn't go to the track. That would be
bad. But, he said they got to go. OTV just opened.
I mean, you are courting members of a party that, in case you haven't noticed, has completely lost its mind.
Yeah.
Bob Bennett isn't white or conservative enough for these guys. Bob Bennett makes me look third world.
Yeah, I know.
Ran his butt off the ballot in Utah.
I know. What did you, by the way, so what did you think of that? Does that change the nexus on the teabagger thing? I mean, that's, because obviously they haven't really had a lot of electoral success thus far,
I'll tell you, that's their biggest scalp, because nobody saw that one. I mean, a month ago, nobody saw that one coming.
Right.
And Utah has very hinky, you know, ballot rules and primary rules and stuff, and I know that.
Your Massachusetts boy, Romney, introduced Bennett on Saturday before the vote to a mix of cheers and boos. He said some may disagree with a handful of his votes or simply want a new face, but with the sweep and arrogance of the liberal onslaught today in Washington, we need Bob Bennett's skill and intellect and loyalty. I don't think this speaks well for Romney either. I mean,
people
try to be centrist, right?
There's polling data out there from the last election to this effect. The more you see Mitt Romney, the less you like him. There's actual polling data to that effect. The more commercials he ran, the more his support went down.
That'll be a novel kind of campaign.
I like the sweep and arrogance of his coiffure myself, but that's neither here nor there.
They'll model it on where in the world is Matt Lauer, that campaign. Where in the world is Mitt Romney? We don't know.
This was a very interesting development over the weekend, I think. I think the fact that the Republican Party is in the hands of crazy people is the most undercover story in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, as somebody said to me, I was at the University of Mississippi over the weekend because my son was getting his degree, and I was hanging out with Mississippi's 8 or 10 actual liberals, and one of them said to me, you know, nobody put Abby Hoffman in the Congress back in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, right. We didn't elect Jerry Rubin to be, you know, senator from Utah, from Massachusetts. Yeah. But these people are actually electing these folks. And the people you're seeing making the crazy laws in the state legislature, that's the farm team.
Yeah.
In 15 years, they're going to be the ones who get elected to Congress.
Yep, exactly. Charlie, so, you know, obviously a lot of different issues on the Elena Kagan nomination, though, that it, just some interesting, some new. I mean, this whole, you know, the American Family Association, Chris, coming out and, you know, essentially making an issue about whether she's gay when she hasn't ever talked about that.
Yeah, I understand, and that's their knee-jerk issue, pardon the expression, response, you know, when they're not traveling around the world with rented gentlemen. But you know, I mean, the crazy people will say crazy stuff, and people, and they should be ignored. I think that some of the criticism she gets from the left is ought to be responded to, although I'll guarantee you it won't come up in I will almost guarantee you it won't come up in the hearings. Mm-hmm. But you know this issue that she didn't learn to drive till she was 20. She lived in New York.
I haven't heard that.
Oh yeah, somebody made an issue of that on some blog or another she's an elitist because she hasn't learned to drive till she was 20. She lives in New York. I don't know five people in New York who drive.
She doesn't own a pickup truck. She's obviously not qualified.
Exactly.
Yeah, you try. Get off your blog and try to take the A train uptown and see where you wind up.
Although,
tell me how hard it is.
Came from the West, she'd know how to drive.
Here we go again.
Sorry.
Here we go again, Biggie Smalls.
I love this. This judicial throwdown here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
so
we get stuff from
busting into the chamber with an AK.
We get John Cornyn saying stuff like, "She's a surprising choice for a president who's emphasized the importance of understanding how the world works and how ordinary people live." Ms. Kagan has spent her entire professional career in Harvard Square, Hyde Park, and the D.C. Beltway. These are not places where one learns how ordinary people live.
Yeah, there's nobody. People in Cambridge will tell you, by the way, that there's no one ordinary there, but you shouldn't pay attention to them. What's he got against Hyde Park?
Yeah,
I mean, the whole Roosevelt thing coming up again?
I mean, oh, please, but it's like, you know, they try to
or
pretend.
Or the other Hyde Park.
Yeah.
I mean, they all have Ivy League degrees. I mean, that just cracks me up. Like, you know, they want work. Someone that works on a shrimp boat, or what? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well,
which is it?
There'll be a lot of people looking for work on shrimp
boats.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Senator John Kyle on the Atlantic.
Advancing of a gay rights agenda over the Congress's law, so that raises the question of whether her own personal beliefs there would interfere with a decision that she might make.
There it is. It's code.
Boy, you don't need the Enigma machine for that one, do you?
No, you do not.
Well, I mean, this is because, you know, they're talking about Kagan's opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which the majority of Americans are against at this point, along with a lot of our top military.
And she booted the military recruiters off campus, but she only booted them off for like an hour. I mean, it wasn't anything permanent. They brought it back. They're casting around. They know it's a pretty easy confirmation. They're trotting out all the old tropes. But you know, if Obama is really playing fifth dimensional chess, then it's going to work because she's not what they're saying she is.
Well, do you think he is?
That's what she is not in any way a radical.
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing, though. We've had, you know, people call already today, Charlie, that say, you know, the president's pretty smart. He's a constitutional law scholar that, you know, it's like the old campaign thing. Chill out, mother. I got this, you know, do you think?
I think he's found a candidate that he can get confirmed to the Supreme Court. Now, am I encouraged by her career that she'll, you know, be the kind of justice I wish he appointed? No, I'm not. But I do think in terms of the politics of it, he's nominated somebody he'll get through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll nominate somebody he'll get by. And the fact that you're hearing Bill Bennett saying, well, it could have been worse, and, you know, the best they can come up with is that she didn't learn to drive till she was 20, and she might be, you know, that means they're out of ideas.
Well, yeah. And also there's the political consideration. It's going to be a tough election year, and Obama probably didn't want the world's biggest fight for the Supreme Court this year.
Right.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, when you get elected, you know, this is a political party that won decisively in two consecutive election cycles. Mm-hmm. They get to staff the government.
Yeah.
You know, the country has decided that they want them to run, and one of the things you get to do is appoint federal judges. So what is going to be the issue at which he says, "I don't need them. I don't need their support. I don't need their goodwill because there isn't any. I don't need their good faith because there isn't any. I'm just going to go this one alone." He sort of did it at the end of the health care thing.
Yep.
But to
me, speaking of explosive issues, I mean, you know, what about immigration? Because now it looks like, you know, he is going to try to get that done. But, you know, and again, you know, you look at these polls, Charlie, showing a lot of the majority thinks the Arizona law is okay. That's kind of scary politically. Although if you go deeper in the polling, if you describe Kennedy McCain almost, you know, immigration reform, people are for that. So do we win or lose on this politically?
Yeah, but you know what? I've learned over the last couple of years, 4 or 5 years, that people don't go deep into polls. I mean, pollsters go deep into polls. Pundits go deep into polls.
But it was like health care. If you describe the health care bill to people, they're for it. But then they're like, oh, are you for Obamacare? People would say no because the Republicans did a good enough.
And if you describe single payer to them, they support that too. It's just that you know, it wasn't going to happen. Because if you call single payer a government health care plan, the support goes down in the tank. If you call it, oh, this is what will happen, you'll fill out one form and da-da-da, and this is what somebody in Canada says, and without calling it government-run health care, the numbers go back up again.
Yeah.
So there's a peril at looking deep into polls, I think.
Yeah.
But and then again, there's a peril looking deep into the government.
I love how we've democratically lost the will to live. Well, single payer, yeah, most people want that, but that's obviously a non-starter in a democracy because it's what most people want.
We shouldn't bring it up because somebody else is saying.
I mean, he knew it somehow wasn't going to win. You know why? Because he looked shallowly into polls and realized that that's the way we think these days. I mean, that's our new motto, America. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the Latin for that is. I know you were throwing the sorry decesis around earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, perpetuities. I don't think this judicial rap war is going to be as exciting as, like, the actual one, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
throwing down over Sherry at the faculty club in Cambridge, it just, you know, it doesn't make it for me.
Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal from the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, and now out in paperback.
Hey,
see you next week.
The book is out in paperback, not me.
Yeah, right.
What's that? Yes.
The book is, not Charlie.
It would be delightful if you were.
I'll see you later.
All right. Bye, Charlie. There he goes, Charlie Pierce.
Tommy from Columbus sent me a list of what's her name's credentials. Very impressive.
Kagan.
Oh, we will do that. Let's do that as soon as we get back, yes?
Yeah.
Just for the heck of it. All right. 47 minutes.
That's what we call in the business a tease.
Wasn't that clunky? All right. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how did this show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Do what I do. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer with Carbonite today. Go to Carbonite.com. You use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. You get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. Jim Ward has some Elena Kagan fun facts. Tommy in Columbus sent us her list of qualifications or
whatever.
Something.
I do. I was just having a mishap with the microwave.
Were you?
I had to pull it out and unplug it and start it up again.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
It was weird. Anyway.
Everything will be fine, I'm sure.
Plus, I was
what?
Chatting with a lovely South African woman. But anyway, that's not here
nor there. That's neither here nor there. Go ahead, Jim.
Anyway, so anyway, yes, Tommy from Columbus sent us a list of her bona fides. Princeton summa cum laude, Oxford University Masters, Harvard Law School magna cum laude, editor of the Harvard Law Review, clerk for U.S. Court of Appeals, District of Columbia, clerk for Thurgood Marshall. Oops, uh-oh. My session has expired. Oh, damn it. My computer
anyway.
Just, but more importantly, he talked about the whole, private life thing.
Yes.
And then the Republicans should be careful about it because he showed a picture of Roberts. On Fire Island with some friends of his in the late 70s. So if they really want to bring that up,
right
there.
Well, and also it seems a bit of a double standard that the right didn't scream about Condoleezza Rice being a single woman in her 50s.
Shh. Don't talk about that.
All right. All right.
What?
I don't know. It's like a game show. Loser or lesbian?
Could be both.
But there's a lot of, you know, distinguished women, at least in government, obviously, that, you know, you could go down a list of people. You remember Janet Reno had to say, what did she say? I'm just an old skoomarm something.
Whatever.
Spinster.
Yes. She said, I'm just an awkward old maid.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, and also there's Janet Napolitano, who said that she likes men. Men just don't like her.
Okay, then.
All right. Yes. Janet Reno said, my social life consists of putting the star on the Christmas tree, and I'm fine with that. Look what I can do.
Look at what he can do.
Gee. Mm-hmm. All right. Gavin in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Yes.
I just wanted to briefly speak about the Kagan appointment and how Democrats or liberals are kind of, kicking into her a little bit before really knowing the background. And I'm glad you.
Oh, that's what we do. We turn on each other, Gavin, like old junkyard dogs.
Exactly. But look, I think that we're not looking at the full game. I listen to your show. It's my first time calling, and I hear you mm-hmm. joking about how you'd love to have, a super liberal appointed, Che Guevara or whatever.
Yes.
But that one vote means nothing. You need someone that can convince and get the fifth vote. And I think that's why she's appointed, because she's qualified to get the fifth vote. And it's Democrats are screaming, we want our own Alito. We want our own Thomas, the liberal version, someone that's
right. Well, I think Charlie Pierce was pointing out, it's like, this is what Republicans do. When they're in power, they get the most crazy right-wing activists they can.
Right.
I'm just saying, we've won the presidency.
That doesn't do anything for us.
What's that?
That doesn't do anything for us right now. I think we need someone that can get the fifth vote, and I think that's why she was chosen.
Yep. All right, honey. I hear you. I hear you. Let's go to Dan in San Francisco. Hi, Dan.
I'm progressive, and I'm from San Francisco, and I've been fighting the ballot for over 40 years, and I think this appointment is a real sham, and he could have appointed Woods, and she would have been tolerable, okay? But this woman, she's a solicitor general, and every time it's in her interest, she defends the right wing. It's her job, she says. Well, she could have gotten any job. She could have gone anywhere. And she took these jobs where she defended people at the George Bush administration. Well, Barack Obama should have appointed a left-wing judge, and he didn't want to fight. Well, George Bush had no problem appointing extreme right-wingers, and he got through.
Right. Yep, Dan, that's what Charlie Pierce's point was, is just the difference in how we behave. And we've won the presidency and the Congress in a landslide, and this is a lifetime appointment. You said that earlier, Jim, like when do you take a stand?
Never, apparently. I mean, it's all the way down the center.
By the way, the
idea of getting a fifth vote is a valid point, but it's incredibly frustrating, as a liberal. Just continue to have liberal be a bad word for no good reason.
Bill Christou, who has always been wrong about everything ever, said last month on Fox News, he said he endorsed a Solicitor General Elena Kagan to be nominated to the Supreme Court, calling her a very respectable choice who has very hard-to-challenge credentials and impressive academic credentials. Oh, hold on now. Now that the president has officially nominated him, he is advancing his argument, writing that she's anti-military, writing that her views reflect hostility to the military. On Fox News, he claimed she was eager to prevent the military from being able to recruit at Harvard Law School. That seems to be their only play. Yes, exactly. Kagan did not bar military recruiters from Harvard Law's campus. She was only following the school's rules established in 1979, preventing employers who discriminate based on sexual orientation from using the school's career services center. The military could still recruit on Harvard's campus through the school's Veterans Association, and she actually allowed the military access to career services after the Supreme Court upheld a law that denies federal funding to universities that deny full access to their campuses. And by the way, if opposition to Don't Ask, Don't Tell makes her hostile to the military, then she joins Joint Chiefs Chairman Michael Mullen, also, I guess.
Yes.
Self-hating member of the military, I suppose.
Oh, anyway, my computer came back online finally.
Oh, all right. Go ahead. Some more Lenny Kagan fun facts.
We have 30 seconds.
Okay. Private law practice. University of Chicago Law School assistant professor tenured. Clinton's White House legal team nominated for U.S. Court of Appeals District of Columbia. Columbia blocked by Republicans, blah, blah, blah. Harvard Law School full professor. Dean of Harvard Law School Solicitor General for the United States.
Blah, blah, blah. How's that relevant?
That whole John Roberts thing on Fire Island. Just saying.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen,
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, all 3 hours tomorrow, live in the New York Bureau of
so that
Stephanie
means,
Miller Incorporated.
That means you're going to be on camera tomorrow.
Yeah. StephanieMiller.com. Is there's not lighting dark enough? Well, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, could you take your wedding organ out for me? I've been sent yet another future husband stack. A Colorado man who claimed he was trying to defend himself from a mugger when he shot himself in the groin has been convicted of illegal discharge of a firearm. Yeah, that'll throw someone off if you shoot yourself in the... That'll... You know what? That would throw someone off their...
Drinking and firearms don't mix.
Yes, jurors convicted him of prohibited use of a weapon drunk with a gun, which, who knew that was, I didn't even know that was a legal designation.
In Colorado it is, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Drunk with a gun. Prosecutors request that he be sentenced to probation. He maintained that someone hit him in the back of the head and he was trying to defend himself.
By shooting himself. Yeah.
Okay. Once again, aren't they voting somewhere to allow? Oh, they are. They voted a bunch of places to allow firearms in bars.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good thinking.
It's almost a better idea than babies in bars. maybe someone will pass a law that drunken babies
drunk
can have guns in bars.
Babies with guns in
Look
bars.
At you! You have a baby! In a bar!
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. Jeff in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Say, I wanted to just comment. I think that the fact that the current appointee doesn't have a lot of litigation experience is a bonus because I think it's going to enable her to be more objective in viewing the law in and of itself. I think that the law, if interpreted objectively, is progressive naturally, and getting away from I have to win my argument type of an attitude that was pretty evident when looking at the exchange between she and Chief Justice Roberts the other day. It was apparent that he had an attitude that wanted to go, and rather than taking an objective view of the law. So having more of an objective opinion, I believe, is going to be a real bonus.
Yep, I hear you. I believe, Jim, the C word will be thrown out.
Excuse me?
She used the word compassionate, that a government should be compassionate. Which is almost as as gay as the E word, empathy, which was thrown out during the
That sounds pretty French to me.
Pardon me?
Sounds pretty French to me.
Yes. The A word has been thrown out. Jeff Sessions has thrown out the first activist. Top Republican on the Senate Judiciary has signaled the GOP will put up a tougher fight against Elena Kagan than they did against Sotomayor. Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions said Kagan's activist background could
Meaning
be a significant
what?
Impediment for Sessions added that unlike Sotomayor, Kagan's lack of experience in the courtroom will make it easier to wage a fight over her nomination. And the president did point out she is an acclaimed legal scholar with a rich understanding of constitutional law. So you think that would be somewhat relevant?
She was Solicitor General, representing the government.
Which sounds dirty, but it's not. It has nothing to do with solicitation. We
determined that yesterday.
Yes, that was the first question yesterday. What is that exactly? What is a solicitor general?
Do you solicit generally?
Or just generals?
Or just generals. Is it like Fleet Week? Because I'm a solicitor general during Fleet Week in New York, I'm just saying.
There are no generals in the Navy.
No.
Oh,
they're admirals.
Right. Yes.
Sestak was an admiral.
Sure. I know that from my vast military experience that he always compliments me on.
Yep. He might win next week. Holy crap.
Have you seen
Wow.
Have you seen the latest polls?
Yes, he's ahead. Well, yesterday was four. Is he ahead more?
No, he's ahead by four. But this Kagan thing may help him out even more.
So Marlon Spector will blame the single ballot theory for
because
pushed him over the edge.
All right, I understand. Okay. Let's dive into the right wing world, shall we, and see what's doing. I don't understand how progressive became a bad word in Glenn Beck's world.
Progressive, Nazi, same thing. No.
I mean, is it better to be... Their party's basically regressive, isn't it?
Yes.
So I don't... Okay.
The Democrats don't even exist anymore. You can play the game that the Democrats exist, but they don't. It is the progressive movement.
Ah.
Period. That's it. It's the progressive party. You might as well call that the Marxist party. With the people that are involved now, this is... It's a whole new ball game.
Yeah. Marxist, Nazis,
yeah.
And progressives. Oh,
sure.
My.
Mm-hmm.
You idiot.
Jim, I don't, you know, I'm not the historian of the Stephanie Miller Show. You are? Because I just said so.
Oh.
But isn't fascism sort of the opposite of progressivism? I don't understand how we get make that jump so quickly.
Progressives are for civil liberties. Totalitarian ideas like communism and national socialism are not. The only thing that Republicans latch onto is the socialism part, as if the worst thing Hitler did was build federally subsidized housing in the Autobahn.
Right.
You know, and that's their sole focus on it. It's big government. Big government,
yes.
Bad. Progressive. Nazis. Same thing. No, not remotely.
The Nazis also.
The Nazis wiped out,
German
entire
word.
Race of people.
Well, the Nazis actually murdered much of the most popular party, the Social Democrats in Germany, before they got to power. They wanted to make sure that there wasn't competition.
Now I understand the link. Autobahn, a German word that means killing Jews. Clearly,
no.
That's what it is.
No.
What? Okay, the brain trust that is Brian Kilmeade, who really is the...
He really is stupid.
He is kind of the think tank of that whole, you know, he's sort of the, I mean, he really is the brain of the Fox and Friends, isn't he?
Well.
To media outlets like the New York Times, aid and abet terror by leaking national security secrets. Some say, oh, they do that, including helping the Times Square bomber plan his attack without being detected.
Oh, it was the New York Times' fault.
Yeah.
They, how? What?
All their leftist commies like Judith Miller.
So the New York Times knew, but they just didn't say anything about the Times Square bomber. Is that a... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fox News is just a cog in Rupert Murdoch's wheel to help destroy the New York Times, his main competition for newspapers in New York City. And so Fox News will do any story that they can that makes the New York Times look bad.
If you can't buy them, kill them.
So they were sitting at an editorial board meeting at the New York Times, and they're like, well, what's going on today? Let's see. There's that guy that's going to blow up Times Square, but that's not really news, right? So let's not do that. When they're just spitballing? That kind, is that what he's implying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Rush Limbaugh on Elena Kagan.
She's lived at Harvard. She's lived at Hyde Park in Chicago, inside the Beltway, in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. As is the case with all liberal elitist theoreticians, they have no clue how real Americans live.
What?
They think they know how Americans ought to live. And that is what they want to use the judiciary for.
Uh-huh.
They're totally animated by their prejudices.
Yes.
And their biases.
They were all born billionaires.
Wait a minute.
Elitists.
Didn't Rush say I'm a suburban radio host? What? This is going to rock
Stephanie
his world.
I'm a radio show in suburban America. This morning.
What?
You
wait a minute. Isn't this going to rock his
American.
World when he finds out I live on the Upper West Side?
Like I said, suburban elitist.
Well, do you think that he's going to call me a liberal elitist theoretician soon?
Doesn't Rush Limbaugh live in Palm Beach? It doesn't get more elitist than that.
I could be a liberal elitist theoretician if I could pronounce that.
If you knew what a theoretician was.
Exactly.
Is anything like
if I had even a theory about it.
Is anything like an esthetician?
Yeah. Well, we've seen pictures of Limbaugh's common man house.
Yes.
Mini Versailles.
Yes, wasn't his common man apartment for sale here in liberal enclave of Manhattan for $40 million? Or,
it was. You know, and it had the most gaudy murals painted on every single wall.
Yeah.
And gold leaf on the ceiling.
Apparently, I need to start taking a lot more OxyContin if I want to afford that sort of...
Yes, he painted that in an OxyContin-induced fever dream.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was.
Jim, you know, it's not like you and I write things on a cocktail napkin when we're drunk and think it's funny. Like you get up the next morning and...
What? What did I mean by that?
Why was that funny? I don't know. Okay, Carrie Severino on the Britt Baer Show.
It's an interesting pick to find someone who's spent most of her life in elite legal academia and say this is the person who's the pick for the little guy.
Yes.
Wow, was that a talking point that went around yesterday?
Boy, that zipped around the right-wing world, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And she
you're not for the little guy if you have those fancy degrees. Or
whatever.
You want someone with no degree of any kind to be on the Supreme Court.
Harriet Myers. Now, there's a...
That's a brain trust.
Okay. Fred Barnes also won the Ripper.
Ripper.
If some Republican president had nominated somebody with no judicial experience and somebody who had lived only in the rarefied air at the top of the legal establishment in America, which is where she's been, all these Democrats would be, they'd be on a rampage against that nominee.
No, sadly, no. We weren't on enough of a rampage against any of the Republican nominees. Otherwise, the Supreme Court wouldn't look as you know.
Yeah, exactly. Clarence Thomas is probably the least qualified person ever nominated for the Supreme Court, and he got in.
K to the G on the live blog says, hey, can we grind up the Fox and Friends and shoot them into the oil hole?
Hey, there's an idea. They're kind of pulpy.
They are pulpy.
A lot of
Stephanie Miller Show. It is not for the grinding up of the Fox and Friends into a pulpy mass that might or might not plug
the oil. Steve Doofus himself would suck up a lot of that.
I mean, they do have a lot of hair, and hair is absorbent.
Yes.
Okay, we're just, you know, again, there's no wrong answers on the Stephanie Miller Show, just ideas.
We're just pitballing, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, O'Reilly on the Greek...
The world understands that if Greece goes under, the entire economy of Europe totters, thus a billion-dollar bailout that makes the U.S. corporate bailout look like chump change. Good news here is that, once again, socialism has proved to be a disaster, and we hope President Obama is taking notice of that. Entitlement societies will always fail. It's USA must stop its crazy spending.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Bill, also, first of all. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap. Yeah, Liz Cheney, the demon seed, tried this yesterday, too. Conservatives have tried using the Greek crisis by trying to score political points against President Obama's domestic policies. Liz Cheney pushed the myth the U.S. was bailing out Greece, and Cheney even suggested America adopt Greek-like austerity measures to counter the budget deficit. The U.S., of course, along with many other countries, is a contributor to the International Monetary Fund, which serves as the lender of last resort to countries in crisis to prevent those crises from spreading worldwide. So the U.S. is not bailing out Greece.
And also, Naomi Klein talked about this in the Shock Doctrine, that the idea of the euro looks good on paper, but what it does in effect is individual countries can't manipulate their own currency to counter certain trends, and that's partly what's happening in Greece.
Yep.
That they're hamstrung because they're tied to the euro.
Yep, exactly. All right. Richard Wolff had to cancel because I've never gotten such an excuse as this.
His son knocked out a tooth.
Why? That is a liberal pilot fat trap. How did we'll want the whole explanation tomorrow.
We wish his son well.
We do. We'll reschedule Richard Wolff. But yes. Representative Frank Pallone coming up, Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. And you didn't think that I would hear it. I'll hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up. That's what they ain't no holler back, girl. Ain't no holler back,
girl. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, so Representative Frank Pallone coming right up. Mary in California on the Elena Kagan nomination. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just have a brief comment. You know, I don't remember hearing anybody say anything about retired Justice Souter not being married.
The jacuzzi. Yeah, didn't he live in his mom's basement or something?
I don't know, but I think he lived in a trailer
on his mom's property.
Yeah, I just get so irritated at this. That just because she's unmarried, all of a sudden she's a lesbian. I'm going to be 60 years old. I haven't been married, and I'm certainly not a lesbian.
Do you live in your mom's basement?
No.
All right. No one threw out Mama's Boy at the Souter confirmation hearings. Yeah, he had a sort of Tony Perkins mother blood
No, mother blood, no.
Just saying.
No, I'm even a very bad boy.
No, he actually did live with his mother, didn't he?
Wow. Okay.
I think maybe
he took care of his mother.
Right.
In
that sort of way.
Sure. I made that sound like a bad thing, and I apologize.
He didn't depend on his mother.
And,
Normal people don't give a about their mother, for God's sakes.
Stephanie!
I'm just kidding.
Talk about yourself.
That was a joke.
I'm sending that piece of audio to your mother.
Oh, you are not. I'm taking my mom to a fancy spa in a couple of weeks, and you know it. We're going to stay where the president stayed, you know?
Wow,
in Asheville, North Carolina.
We've been there.
Yes, that's where Jim and I stayed before. We're going to do an appearance. Bill Press and I, June. Is it up in the calendar section yet, by chance? StephanieMiller.com?
I have no information on it, so...
Oh, perhaps I forgot to send that to you in a drunken stupor once again.
If you could send along that information, that would be
so choice.
My apologies.
Bill Press and I will be doing meet and greets and
whatever
down in Asheville, North Carolina, the weekend of June 5th and 6th. All right. All right. All right. I made a list. See, I made a little list of things to do. All right. A brief little celebrity stack here. Wow. D-listed writing, Bobby Brown is going to marry a woman who obviously has not seen one episode of Being Bobby Brown. That was living in the back of a cave when he was married to Whitney Houston. They write, I really hope Whitwit agrees to sing at their wedding because she'll bring down the tent faster than a drunk pole dancer.
Or like
you choice. You can get Whitney Houston to sing at your wedding, though, right?
Yeah.
And she, of course, will always love crack. Oh, come on. I didn't. I don't know for sure.
Didn't you almost bring down a building trying to pull pants on a light fixture?
Actually, I almost brought down the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis.
I think you almost brought down the entire state of Minnesota.
You know, the thing about pole dancing is that you should probably at least be good at it before you know what I mean? You're going to, you should at least commit. I was doing a little comedy version of a pole dance, and I almost killed many people in the front row.
Should be on a pole that's actually designed for that sort of thing.
Apparently. And I was a little too late. Who could have seen this coming? Mel Gibson allegedly cheated on ex-girlfriend, you know, the one that he knocked up while he was married to the other woman that he knocked up seven times. What's her name?
Oksana.
It's not Oksana Baiul. I keep thinking that.
Not Oksana Baiul.
No.
The other Oksana. There's only one other.
A porn producer, Violet Kowal. You know her, Jim.
Oh, she's good.
She claims to have had a 3-month fling with the star last year while he was still, with the girlfriend that he knocked up with. Oksana, what's her name?
I don't remember.
Okay. While she has refused to give the real reasons behind the breakup, she has previously hinted there would be some shocking revelations.
Oh, boy.
Perhaps he was fooling around with the porn,
whatever.
That person
allegedly.
There. Allegedly. I don't know that for a fact. All right. Meanwhile, I was going to say, now I'm running out of time, but Liz Cheney, can she just not talk again ever? Here's the thing. I don't even mind her and Dick going on TV and saying things, but they at least ought to be challenged on something.
Yeah.
She criticized the Obama administration for its first instinct to Mirandize the Times Square suspect. Does anyone think to ask her, how is that different than when George Bush and Dick Cheney did it to the shoe bomber? I don't understand. That's the problem. They're allowed to just, go on and...
They don't talk about it, so it didn't happen.
29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Frank Pallone next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A glittering diamond of super evil.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Our phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are joined by one of our personal favorites, Representative Frank Pallone of the great state of Jersey. Good morning, Congressman.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
I was walking my dogs up the Hudson River yesterday and looking at your beautiful state of New Jersey. It looked fabulous yesterday, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. The weather has been beautiful. It's true.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. So, not so beautiful. We had somebody call from Mississippi this morning that said they literally can smell gasoline this morning. What is your take on the have we started these congressional hearings yet with the BP executives, and what's going to happen with all this?
Well, I know that there are going to be hearings, but I don't believe they've started yet, because we don't go into session until today.
Okay. I guess what I've already been hearing the, finger pointing and blame shifting that seems to be going on with these executives, right? They're, already trying to say, oh, well, it's not us, it's Transocean, and then Transocean saying it's not us, it's Halliburton. And
I know, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your take on what we need to do? Because, you know, I've heard mixed things that obviously even lifting this liability cap, it would only apply to future crises.
Well, I think that what we're trying to do is lift the liability cap so that it would actually apply to BP and this particular incident. But I mean, the point is, look, first of all, it makes no sense to expand offshore drilling, you know, beyond where it's taking place now, because what's going to happen is you're going to be going into deeper and deeper water. And I think that what this spill showed with BP is that when you go into the deeper water, you don't have control. In other words, the technology doesn't exist that you can actually cap it or stop it once there is a spill. Right. And if you talk about the Atlantic Ocean in particular, you know, a lot of these rigs will be even further out than the one with BP and even deeper water. So the bottom line is that these spills happen all the time. I mean, we have one on the average every month in the Gulf, and obviously most of them are smaller and they don't get the media attention, but it's a constant threat. And if you're going to expand drilling beyond the existing lease areas, then these technological problems are just going to become more acute. So I've advocated going back to the moratorium that we had before, which is, it's, you know, let's not expand into new areas.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't you think it was a joke when you heard they're talking about shooting garbage and golf balls into the? I mean, the point is, when you say the technology doesn't exist, part of it is that they're not spending the money.
Well, that's
right?
Also true.
In terms
but
of what
I mean,
to do
they,
when this
they
happens.
Basically, look, Big Oil sold the federal government a bill of goods when they said that they can do this drilling safely at these depths. They can't. I mean, people can't obviously go down and fix the problem at these depths. It has to be done by robots. And the problem is that the technology simply is not there. So, the president has said that he's going to, basically say he's not going to do any more expansion now, but I would argue that there shouldn't be any more expansion at all. What we really should be doing is concentrating on renewables. You know, there's a lot of technology now that we could expand windmills offshore, solar panels. You know, all the renewables have great potential, and they can substitute for fossil fuels eventually, and we're just not putting enough emphasis on that and not prioritizing it enough. We're still looking for these old-fashioned ways of drill, drill, drill. And that's not the way things should, you know, that's not the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and Republicans are in an interesting position, right? Because, I mean, they're even trying to disavow, you know, the phrase drill, baby, drill. They're like, who said that? That was never, that wasn't our phrase.
I know.
It's like your two front runners said it endlessly during the last, and now obviously the polling show that, you know, majority of Americans clearly have turned against the idea of drilling. So what do you think is going to happen in the energy legislation when that goes forward? Because I know that obviously some Democratic senators have already said it's a non-starter drilling.
Well, I think we have to go back to the original moratorium. In other words, until the last couple of months of the Bush administration, there was an annual. There was a moratorium in the appropriations bill that forbade expansion of drilling in offshore areas beyond where the leases existed now. There are still, and there was the executive order by President Bush that had been in effect under several presidents for over 20 years, and that's where we need to go. And hopefully, as President, you know, right now President Obama says we're not going to expand anything now because we want to investigate this spill. But hopefully, while that occurs, and at the end of that period, he'll go back to the moratorium that we had for 20 years, and the priority and the money at the federal level will be invested in renewables.
Well, Congressman, you know, the biggest impediment to anything getting done in America, and, you know, I'm referring to the Senate, of course, Harry Reid had said, you know, he doesn't know whether he's going to bring an energy or an immigration bill to the floor first. He said, you know, on both of those issues, we need a Republican. I mean, you know, here we are again. Are we going to get any help from the other side, on either of these issues?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I guess my view is that, election is coming up, and hopefully some of the Republicans realize that inaction is not what the American people want. I mean, I don't talk to anybody who says we should do nothing. I think that when you talk about the energy bill, I mean, basically the effort is to achieve energy independence. It's not, it's an environmental bill to try to, cut back on global warming, but it's also a bill to try to achieve energy independence. And I think, again, the only way you're going to do that in the long run is putting more emphasis on renewables. And hopefully, you know, this points to the fact that, you know, we can't just drill our way out of the energy crisis.
Mm-hmm. Let's get your take on, obviously, the other big issue of the day, Elena Kagan, the new Supreme Court nominee. What is your take on what's been going on so far?
Well, I think it was a very wise and sensible choice on the part of the president. I mean, you know, she's basically someone who seems to be middle of the road, you know, who I think will, you know, make rational decisions. I expect that she's not going to get opposition or too much opposition from the Republican side, and would be a fairly easy confirmation.
And that's what it sounds like. It seems like there's always a lot of, you know, smoke and all of that, but it just does seem like this is not, I'm not sure it's going to be significant, right?
No, I mean, obviously, look, she's obviously a progressive person, but at the same time, I don't think there's any, you know, indications are that she's, you know, going to stick to precedent. And I think she's the very type of nominee that should engender bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, obviously going to be a lot of important issues coming up before the Supreme Court. Let's get your take on it, since obviously this is in your home turf, the New York City bomb plot. Obviously, Eric Holder talking about, you know, perhaps having to change Miranda to go before Congress. What is your take on that?
Well, I think we have to protect the constitutional rights, and I think people are entitled to Miranda warnings. I mean, that's clear, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I was just saying that, you know, this right before the break, I was saying this infuriates me that people like Liz Cheney get away with this. She criticized the handling of the New York City bomber as insufficient. I'm not sure in what way it could be any more sufficient than catching him within 53 hours and getting the amount of information we've gotten.
Exactly. I think that it was handled well and the person was apprehended. And it's obvious that, in my opinion, that, you know, this administration is making great strides, I think, in terms of the war against terrorism. And I think, if anything, this incident showed that they're very much in charge and they know what they're doing. And I, you know, to suggest otherwise doesn't really have any base.
Well, and again, no one questioned her. You know, she criticized them for their first instinct was to Mirandize him. No one questioned her on, you know, why it is that George Bush did exactly the same thing, you know, with the shoe bomber.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Yeah, and by the way, more times and sooner than they did. This guy, so Shahzad was questioned. The arresting agents evoked the security exception in order to immediately question him about imminent threats, right, before Mirandizing him, right, as you say, he's legally entitled to as an American citizen. So they got information before and after they Mirandized him, right?
I don't understand what the issue is. I think
they didn't torture him. That's the problem. Liz Cheney's disappointed that they didn't torture him.
Yeah, I mean, everything was done the way it was supposed to be done.
That's always a sad night in the Cheney household. That's a quiet dinner time when no one's been tortured in the name of America. We kid, Congressman. Now, I was going to say Harry Reid also lashed out at Republicans in this interview. I don't know if you heard yesterday, as being the anti-immigrant party. I think he's getting frustrated about trying to, you know, here he is in the Senate trying to get something done on immigration, and you've got, you know, John McCain, who's now against, you know, whose name was on the bill, is against any kind of immigration reform.
It's very disappointing to see McCain and some of the other Republicans who were supportive of immigration reform now backing off, because, again, we need some Republican support. And, I mean, everyone thinks we need reform. I mean, obviously, some people have different ideas about what to do. But I think that the answer is, you know, if people have been here and they've, you know, paid their taxes, abided by the law, haven't gotten into trouble, it makes sense to put them on a path to citizenship. And you know, that's got to be the key to the reform. And then at the same time, you know, we can do more to prevent more people from coming over the border who shouldn't. But I think for the people that are here and they've been here a period of time, you know, they should be put on a path to citizenship. And again, assuming they've paid their taxes, haven't gotten in trouble with the law, done everything they're supposed to do.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Frank Pallone from the great state of Jersey, thanks so much. Always appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you, sir. There he goes. Joycey, looking good yesterday.
Really?
By the way, Donnie, my right-wing Donnie in Rockford, Illinois, is a Christian and says Kagan is not of the people.
Oh, really?
We'll find out. We'll find out what that means and more on the
pins and needles about that one.
Me too. That's called a tease in the radio business.
That's the second time this morning you've done that.
Except then you're not supposed to say that.
When you point out it's a tease, then it's not really a tease anymore. And then it's
back to broadcasting school. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
How bizarre.
Whatever happened to OMC?
No one knows. It's bizarre.
That's why it's bizarre.
Okay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, in addition to 3 hours of Hump Days with Hal, Hal Sparks live in studio in New York tomorrow, we have Secretary of Education Arnie Duncan.
That's right.
Along with Carl Frisch of Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World.
And on Thursday, we have major Hollywood star Kevin Pollak.
We can do dueling impressions with him. He started as an impressionist, you know.
That's right.
He's one of the best, actually.
Yeah, he is. He's great. Donnie in Rockford, Illinois, is a Christian and says Eleni Kagan is not of the people. What does this mean, Donnie?
I'd just like to say President Obama comes out and says that he wants picks for the court that have, you know, experience on how people feel in life. I mean, this woman was raised in New York City, is a Harvard, Cambridge elitist. And I'd like to know what part of her life, you know, is...
So wait a minute, people from New York are not real people?
I mean, do they know what it's like to live in the suburbs and live in the Midwest, to live in the, you know, I mean...
Do you who lives in the Midwest know what it's like to live in New York City?
No.
Okay, then.
Trust me, it doesn't get realer than New York.
So she should be a Supreme Court Justice of New York.
No, I'm confused. Why would people from New York be disqualified? Why is that not being a real person?
Land ownership. Gun rights, freedoms. I mean, there's all sorts of open range issues
you
in America.
Think she doesn't know about land ownership?
Well, I'm just putting it out there. I mean, how is she?
You're generalizing.
We know everything about guns and freedom in New York. I hear gunfire almost every night.
Yeah, you're being pretty generalized there, pal.
From illegal guns, not. I mean, I'm just talking about what it's like to be an American in a place where you can exercise.
She is an American, Donnie. She is an American. She knows
what
it's like to be
an American.
She's only
for illegal guns. Wait a minute. There's only illegal guns in New York? I'm confused. What your point was there?
New York City has outlawed handguns and gun ownership. Have they not? I mean, isn't that the case? And I know in Cook County in Chicago, you can't own a pellet rifle. So, I mean, you know, I mean, how would somebody in Cook County, a Cook County leftist, for instance, how would they know what it's like to feel to be somebody here in Rockford where you can go out in your backyard and shoot your .22? I mean, how is that? How are we connected? We're not connected.
How is it
at all.
Elena Kagan's fault that some places ban handguns?
She's a New Yorker who would ban handguns.
You don't know that.
She's never had a ruling on gun rights.
She's from New York, therefore she must.
Yeah, she's never had a ruling on gun rights, Donnie. That's what the Senate confirmation hearings are for.
She is Obama's pick.
This is about Obama. It's not about Elena Kagan.
It's about people that share his ideology.
Which ideology?
He grew up in private schools. He was raised by the vice president
have anyone on the Supreme Court that doesn't have Ivy League degrees.
I'm just saying. He's, you know, Obama says she's of the people, and I'd just like to know how.
There is nobody on the Supreme Court that doesn't have fancy degrees. What? You don't get on the Supreme Court with a.
And I think she'd take exception.
2-year degree.
She'd take exception to you calling her not American.
Oh, she's a New York American.
You started this, Chris. New York turf war.
That's different than somebody who comes from Wyoming who you know, carries a shotgun in the truck.
You're automatically a better person like Dick Cheney if you come from Wyoming.
I understand.
You have to have a shotgun.
Dick Cheney thinks you have a right to shoot your friend in the face and get away with
and make him apologize.
Can I talk?
All right.
No, you can't. No.
I'm done with him now.
Yeah, that's really insulting that people, you know, think that New Yorkers and you know, people from big cities aren't Americans.
If you don't drive a pickup truck and have a gun on a gun rack, then you don't know nothing about nothing.
What he's basically saying is that people who, you know, who are from blue states aren't Americans.
Right. And they have no idea that
only people from Wyoming know. The proper gun, or you have the right to get drunk and shoot your friend in the face and then not talk to the cops till the next day. That's a gun right.
What he's saying is that she's going to personally take everyone's gun away if she's on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah, she can do that.
Eliminate the Second Amendment to the Constitution.
Right. Let me tell you, Chris, you know, because I've told the stories about moving here to Calcutta.
Yes.
It doesn't get realer than New York. Trust me on that. I was having a... You know, can I just tell you a little story? Let me tell you my little New York story.
Okay.
I was having a little snack at an outdoor place yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Even the birds are tough in New York. Trust me, a bird came in, like, you know how, like, usually they just, like, sit there and see if you're going to give them something? A bird thieved an onion ring right out from under my... Grabbed it.
Yeah.
And looked at me like... You, I'm from New York.
Pigeons are sky rats.
But the Blue Jays in Yosemite do the same thing. One that swooped and picked up a hot dog right out of my hand.
Pigeons are sky rats.
Yeah. It's like, have you ever seen an Alfred Hitchcock movie? I will you up. Give me that onion ring. I ain't kidding.
You'll end up like Suzanne Plachette with your eyes pecked out on the steps of the schoolhouse.
That could have been me yesterday on the Hudson with one eye.
In my experience, the New York pigeons are very polite.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to finish that?
Yeah. Suzanne Plachette died of lung cancer. Is that the story? We'll stick with that. Sure.
That's tragedy plus time.
Oh, sorry, has that been too soon?
It's been too soon.
All right. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary on Atlantic Avenue.
Don't take their word for it. Take the word of those that have gone to Harvard Law School, that have seen the support that she's given to those that have joined the military.
Shaw. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's going to be their that she doesn't like the military, based on absolutely nothing.
Yeah, based on a lie.
Oh, all right. David Axelrod, senior White House.
She is a tremendously effective advocate and therefore has the ability to bring about consensus.
Yeah, I love this. Key Senate Republicans who already voted to confirm her, like Orrin Hatch and John Kyle, are already saying, well, it doesn't mean things are totally different now. Like. Mm. You know, she was fine, but now they're going to find totally new reasons to, yeah. Senator Patrick Leahy. Yes.
I've urged the president to look outside the judicial monastery, and I told the president that I was glad to see he did.
Oh, geez.
Somebody, I guess he was.
He needs a
lozenge near him. Okay. Senator John Kyle. Yes.
The lack of experience is a problem. It's also helpful to her confirmation because there's not a long paper trail of things that she's written that might be controversial.
But they're going to, so they'll just make it up like that last guy did.
Sure.
That she will vote to take all your guns away. All right. Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, on
the advancing of a gay right.
Yeah. Oh, pardon me. That was Senator John Kyle. Senator Jeff.
She was very aggressive in saying that judges should speak out on specific cases and issues.
Oh, God. I think that you get the code there. She's a chick. She's too yappy already. James Inhofe, again, I don't even know what they're just like grabbing straws now, aren't they? Mm-hmm. He criticized, he said he thinks she has contempt for the Senate confirmation process.
What?
I don't, based on what? Inhofe, the first senator that has come out and said publicly he will oppose Elena Kagan, and then, you know, he went on with the military thing, whatever.
Whatever.
Based on nothing. John Kyle had previously said she doesn't seem to be over the top. That's the thing. All these guys that earlier had been fine with her, they're suddenly like,
until she's nominated and suddenly, oh,
worst
thing ever.
Exactly.
By the way, if they bring up the lesbian thing, Google John Roberts and Fire Island. It's a very interesting picture.
Okay. She ought to just be holding that when she sits down at a confirmation hearing. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.